I am Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. It's been a wild Monday already. If you're on hold, you want to stay there. Telephone call is coming up. In the meantime, we are joined by a senior writer for CBS Sports, host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, good friend of the program, Will Brinson, is my guest. Great to have you, Will. How are you?
Jim, hope everything is going well.
Awesome. On this end, I got to ask you, Will, how excited are you for the start of legal tampering? Is there a more magical time of year than this?
No, there isn't. We get some real reports, some false reports, Twitter going wild, crazy numbers being thrown around for Trent Brown, $60 million and stuff like that. It's the best time of the year. It's magical.
All right, so I'm going to go back to him in just 1 minute, but let me start first with Antonio Brown. You know, when you look at this deal right now, is there any way to say that Antonio Brown, Will, did not completely get over on the Steelers?
He stuffed Pittsburgh and the Steelers in a locker, Jim. I mean, this is an unbelievable power play by Antonio Brown. You know, when he first started demanding the trade, you think, okay, you know, this is a disagreement between the two sides. This is going to be something they work out. Ben and Brown, hash out their differences, figure out a way to make it work. And worst case scenario, Brown, ends up, getting some sort of raw deal from the Steelers, because that's how it works for players. They almost sent him to Buffalo, NFL Siberia, and instead he manages to negotiate and basically demand his way to Oakland. And look, I get the Raiders aren't good, but they have a decent quarterback situation. They made him the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And the worst part for the Steelers is Antonio Brown did all this while submarining his trade value to get basically the same compensation for Antonio Brown that you got from Martavis Bryant after seeing Amari Cooper go for a one this past year. That's debilitating for the Steelers. And, it's going to be real rough when the Raiders go out and sign Le'Veon Bell and then beat the Steelers in the playoffs next year.
Will Brinson joining us. You laid that out perfectly. I mean, the thinking had been that AB was destroying his trade value. It was going to hurt him. But not only did he reportedly block that trade to Buffalo, he ends up going to Oakland where he wants to be and getting more money in the process. As you lay out, what I want to know, Will, is how in fact did this guy do this? How did he pull this off?
It's actually by virtue of the timing, Jim, I think, that he turned on the Steelers, right? Because last offseason, before the 2018 year, they needed some cap space. And so the Steelers restructured his deal to basically make it, where they were going to have to take this $21 million cap hit. And if they hadn't done that, it would have been a lot easier to say, listen, AB, we're out of here. We're bailing on you. Go figure things out yourself. And I think, honestly, that he saw what Le'Veon Bell did last year. I mean, Le'Veon Bell bodied the Steelers, too. He didn't ultimately, he passed them $14 million, but at the end of the day, he got his freedom, and he got to walk away from the Steelers without actually playing for them in 2018. And Brown said, listen, I'm going to play chicken. I'm a superstar. Someone will want me. I'm not going to let you send me to Buffalo. I just won't sign, I won't show up, and that means they won't make the deal. I'll let them be known. Drew Rosenhaus worked this, on the back end magically, and the end result is the Steelers lost two of the 10 best offensive playmakers, skill position guys in the last 5 years over a 12-month span. It's crazy.
Will Brinson joining us. All right, so if he, in fact, AB, went to school on Le'Veon Bell, does this mean that others will look at what he just did and follow suit? In other words, is there now a playbook for what you want to do if you're a superstar and you've got some leverage, or do you feel like that's a one-off that can never be duplicated?
No, I think this is a little bit of a blueprint, both those guys, Bell and Brown, in terms of how you can act towards your team if you have the proper leverage. Now, let's look at DeSean Jackson, for instance, right, as a semi-comparable. There's a trade rumor right now, ESPN reporting the Buccaneers are trying to trade him. The only difference is DeSean Jackson is 32. He's not the complete receiver that AB is, and he has zero guaranteed dollars left on his contract. He only gets $10 million this year. So the Buccaneers, they're not going to, DeSean Jackson can't play chicken with them, right? They're like, look, dude, we don't owe you any money. We'll just cut you. See you later. The Steelers couldn't do that with Brown. And if they had a malcontent in Brown hanging around the locker room, causing issues with Ben Roethlisberger, causing issues with other teammates, stirring things up, creating drama with Mike Tomlin, and they had a $21 million cap hit, they also had the $2.5 million roster bonus due on March 17th. There were just so many variables with that AB situation that I think this is one of those things where if you are a superstar and you're worried about your long-term future with the team, get your agent to go to him and get him to restructure like that so you can push some of that money. You get cash right away and you can leverage them later in terms of your contract. So yes, there is a blueprint, but it does need to be a special sort of situation with a particular type of high-end player.
Right, and a special sort of personality like Mr. Big Chest to pull it off the way he did. Will Brinson joining us. So from the Raiders' standpoint, Will, what do you make of the fact that the Raiders did not want to pay Khalil Mack in his prime, but they are willing to pay Antonio Brown?
Here's my theory, Jim. I think John Gruden came back and said, all right, John Gruden's the type of guy where you can see him wanting to rip apart a roster, remake it entirely in his own image. And that's what he was doing by shipping out Amari Cooper, shipping out Khalil Mack. And now I think what happened was he wanted to try and slow play this, believing he was a good enough coach to win early on because of his coaching skills, and then to get these young players who he's drafting to peak as this team got to Vegas in either 2020 or 2021. I also think he's enough of a psychopath, and I mean this in a complimentary Jim Harbaugh kind of way. I think he's enough of a psychopath that he was not willing to lose all those games, again this year. And so he said, all right, screw it. I'm going to go out and get the big-time talent. I'm going to go get these Steelers cast off, at least one of them. He trades for Antonio Brown. I think that the Raiders are going to be involved in Le'Veon Bell discussions, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if you saw those two guys, Mr. Big Chest or Mr. Big Checks, we're not sure which one it is, joined by Lev Bell in Oakland. And then if you see what the Raiders have in the draft, they just signed Trent Brown, so they're spending big on offensive free agency. They might be willing to spend big draft capital on defensive players, and you can sort of talk yourself into squinting at Oakland and seeing them as a playoff contender if they do make all these moves. But I would guess at the end of the day, typically teams that spend all that money in free agency aren't the teams left standing at the end of the year. So I'm a little wary about it, but I like the aggression that Oakland's using here.
Will Brinson joining us for a few more moments. All right, so bottom line that, do you feel like they're going to make a hard push for Le'Veon Bell? And if not, what does the market look like for him now?
I think it's going to be better than maybe people think. You have teams in the Jets, the 49ers, and the Raiders who are, I believe, will be interested in signing Le'Veon Bell, who have a lot of cap space, who have a need. And those teams competing against each other look, Le'Veon Bell is a running back, and I get why you don't want to pay running backs. But the reality is that Le'Veon Bell is a game-changing running back. He is a guy, he's one of the best pass catchers in the league. I think if you lined him up at wideout for a full season, he could have over 1,000 yards easy, like 1,200 receiving yards, just lined up as a wideout. And I believe he'd actually be a really good fit in John Gruden's system. And all it takes is one team, right? If you get one team out there willing to spend for him, and the Jets really want him and the Raiders really want him, it could turn into a situation where I think he can end up getting that $30 million in the first 2 years that he wants, or that $15 million a year over several years that he wants, maybe even 17. I think 17 is probably a stretch, but there's going to be a good market for Le'Veon Bell. He's ultimately going to get paid, and I think we're going to look at his 2018 gamble to sit out the whole season as a pretty smart move because he saved his body and got a big free agent contract.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, joins us once again. Will, before you go, let me get your thoughts on the Rams adding Eric Weddle. What do you think about that, especially when you look at his ability to make up for corners who like to take risks?
100, yeah, it's a great point. That's exactly what I think, Jim. I think, when you have Aqib Talib, you have Marcus Peters there, guys who love to gamble, Weddle can be a cleanup guy on the back end. And he's not as explosive a playmaker as he once was. But, look, who is as explosive at age 34 as they were in their prime? I do think he's a smart, cerebral guy who can still make big moves for a defense and will fit really well with Wade Phillips. I think you're going to see those guys get on the same wavelength early on. And I think Weddle will be a nice fit on that back end. I like the move by the Rams. They also, brought back Dante Fowler on a one-year, $14 million deal. This is key for them to kind of shore up that defense. Les Snead makes moves. You see the Patriots do this best. But Les Snead has been really good. When you sign a guy like Eric Weddle, he doesn't count against your compensatory pick formula because he was cut by the Ravens. So he doesn't hurt you in that regard. And you see that the Rams trade away those picks to get veterans, but then they're able to get the compensatory picks back by letting free agents walk. Bonus for Eric Weddle, he could drive by the Chargers facility and shoot them the bird every day on the way to work.
Man, I love that. I love that guy. I love him at 34. Actually, Will, I just thought something before you go. Getting lost in all this, though, is the poor Bills Mafia, who I loved. How much did you enjoy the roughly 60-minute career of Buffalo Bill Antonio Brown?
That was the most fun on social media and Twitter that I've had in several years, Jim. It felt like it was just desserts for a guy who, you know, sort of turned against his team that he was going to be sent to Buffalo. Yeah, it's a dagger for Bills fans because they just got pounded for like 4 hours on Twitter unnecessarily. I mean, imagine Josh Allen sitting at home trying to eat like a grilled cheese, relaxed on a Thursday night, and all of a sudden his Twitter account, his notifications are going nuts because people are screaming about him being the reason that Antonio Brown won't come to Buffalo. At the end of the day, I do think the Bills kind of dodged a bullet here. Yeah, this is a situation with Antonio Brown and the Raiders that could get – look, it could go sideways quick. If they're losing games or Derek Carr short-hopping passes, and I don't think Antonio Brown was going to go to Buffalo, win a bunch of games, catch a bunch of inaccurate passes from Josh Allen and be happy. That would have been a sour system for them at Buffalo. So Bills Mafia may have lucked out on this one.
Hey, listen, I'm glad you said that. I've got about a minute. It's not a slam dunk, is it? It's not a slam dunk that it's going to work out for AB and the Raiders.
No way. Absolutely it's not a slam dunk. When you look at, first of all, this guy, Antonio Brown's is a Hall of Fame wide receiver at the end of the day. He will be at some point in time. But he is, you know, he's going to be 31. He did look like he'd lost a bit of a step last year. Ben Roethlisberger had started shifting to Juju Smith-Schuster as his primary target. And if Antonio Brown and the Raiders are losing games and he's not getting his stats, and look, John Gruden's never had a guy with more than 153 targets ever as a head coach in terms of a single wide receiver. Antonio Brown averaged 171 over the last six seasons. His stats are going to go down. And I get that he's getting paid, but if Antonio Brown's stats decrease and he's not having a big year and they're not winning games, he's going to turn sour on the sidelines. We saw it with Keyshawn Johnson with the Buccaneers and John Gruden in that second season. And if Antonio Brown acts the way he acted in Pittsburgh on the sidelines, he and John Gruden are going to get in each other's faces a lot, and it could end up going south quickly.
I agree. It's about the money, but it's not only about the money. Will Brinson is a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast. Very good friend of the program, too. Will, great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Always fun, Jim. Take it easy, man.
That was a blast. Thank you, Will. All right, setting up hour number two, 1-800-636-8686. I'm glad we got to that part at the very end. I know why they made that move. In a vacuum, I like that move. For the Raiders, I can say unequivocally, Antonio Brown, Mr. Big Chest, got over. He got his. He got everything he wanted.